Thanks for joining us here on WWNC, where we've been discussing some life insurance myths. By the way, I should point out that as a fee-only registered investment advisor and financial planning firm, we don't sell any type of financial product whatsoever. So if you have any questions about life insurance or annuities or whatever it is, our goal will be to discuss the concepts with you as objectively as possible. And if you need something like that, we would just try to point you in the right direction, and that's it. So before the break, we were in the midst of working our way through some of the more common life insurance myths, and I think you have a couple more. Is that right, Rob?
Sure, yes. I had another question about some people say that buying term life insurance is similar to the notion of renting a home and your money is wasted by the time the policy's done, whereas whole life or cash value policy is more like buying a home where you build up equity within the policy.
Right, the old building the equity analogy. I do hear that from time to time, and as a matter of fact, we tried to have a life insurance agent come on the show with us, but we found it impossible to find someone who was sharing the same opinions that we have. They are more in the cash value camp along the lines of the myths that we've been talking about, so we were not able to book anyone. The problem with that building equity myth is that it really breaks down if you analyze it. What happens when you sell your home? What happens to your equity? That would be the question that you would ask. The answer to that is if you have a house that's worth $200,000 and if you have a mortgage of $120,000, that's $80,000 of equity. At closing, it goes in your pocket. Maybe you give a little up to a realtor who helps you sell the home, but in essence, that equity goes right to you. Now, ask yourself, what happens if you have a cash value life insurance policy and you die? That equity that you've built up gets used as part of the death benefit. You don't get to keep your equity and have your insurance. Your equity becomes part of your insurance. So to extend that analogy, it would be more like losing the equity in your home when you die because the insurer uses it to pay your death benefit. So you could have the equity in your home as long as you're alive and you don't want to really tap that equity. You could borrow it, but you can't have the home and the equity. You can have one or the other. So that analogy really is completely false in my mind. You had one more.
Sure.
That's right, one more.
Yeah. What do you think about buying a double indemnity policy?
Right, double indemnity. Double indemnity, for those who haven't heard the term, simply means that if you die a certain way, let's say a correct way, the insurance policy will pay twice as much as it otherwise would have. Well, that is kind of enticing because you're thinking that you can play the dying lottery, and if you die by getting hit by a bus, your kids are going to get $2 million instead of $1 million or $200,000 instead of $100,000. It's kind of enticing. But the reality is, ask yourself, when you purchase the policy, you should have purchased an amount that would satisfy the liabilities that you have not had time to satisfy through your own efforts. So, since you don't know how you're going to die, why would you bother playing a game where the policy is going to pay more one way or pay less a different way? And I would further that argument by saying, if you die accidentally, which is the trigger that generally results in the double payment, it has to be an accidental death. Really, if you analyze it, dying accidentally would suggest that you would need less money because that's less torturous to your family than if you came down with Lou Gehrig's disease or Parkinson's or Alzheimer's and it took you 9 years to wither away. That's going to be financially more devastating. So those types of policy riders, in my view, are complete gimmicks. They make no financial sense whatsoever. So I think that pretty much wraps it up for the life insurance segment of this show today. I think Alice has one more question from the mailbag this week.
Yes, I sure do. We have a widow. She's written in, and she needs some guidance. She's in a rather fearful position. She's down to her last jumbo CD, which matures in December. Her health is poor, and she's concerned she may outlive her money, and she would like your advice.
Well, what I would say is that jumbo CD, possibly consider taking that money and purchasing some type of an annuity. The type of annuity that I would recommend would be an immediate annuity, and it would not just be an immediate annuity, it would be a impaired risk annuity. So let's just analyze this for a moment. When you purchase life insurance, you are betting that you're going to die, and the insurance company is betting that you're going to live. When you purchase an annuity, which is nothing more than a series of payments that's going to come to you in exchange for you giving some premium to an insurance company, you might give $100,000 to an insurance company, and then that insurance company will commit to repaying that money to you over time. If you are ill in some way, and she didn't point out in what way she's ill or in what way her health is impaired, that would translate into a shorter than average life expectancy. So that means that if the insurance company were to analyze her situation specifically, they would find, or it would find, that she is not going to last as long as what the normal person who's that age might last. Therefore, since they're starting with, let's say it's $100,000 as a jumbo CD, they would be able to pay that money out over a shorter period of time. That would be their expectation. That would result in a much higher or significantly higher payout, which would help this lady significantly. So what happens if the policyholder ends up living longer than what she expects or what the insurance company expects? It still works out okay to the extent that the insurance company has other people who died unexpectedly early. The insurance company doesn't really care if this particular lady lives too long or lives too little. They're insuring so many people that they're relying on what they call the law of large numbers, and it will work out. So if this lady lives to 140, even though she was only expected to live, let's say, 4 years, the insurance company will pay that as long as the insurance company is in business and will be using money from other people who died too quickly. So the annuity that she would be interested in would be an impaired risk annuity, but she has to remember that not all insurance companies offer these types of annuities. Most insurance companies will just give her the standard rate as if she had normal health. So she needs to deal with a company who will underwrite her situation specifically and make accommodations for her impaired health. Other than that, she might look into Medicaid to see when that comes or when she might be eligible for it. She might also look into a reverse mortgage, and that's all that comes to mind right now. So we're out of here. My name is Glenn Wessel. This is Investor IQ. I've been sitting here with Alice Wessel and Rob Simon and our new addition, Agnes. What a pretty face. What a nice addition. So we'll be back next week. Please be sure and join us every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock for more Investor IQ. Thank you.